Our gospel is found in Mark this morning, Mark 10, verses 13 to 16. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, so I invite you as you're able in body and spirit to stand in reverence and respect for the reading and the hearing of the gospel. Mark 10. People were bringing children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated and join me, if you will, in a moment of prayer. Holy and loving God, we come asking that you give us a spirit again as a yearning and wanting and interested and excited child. Help us, Lord, to come with such a spirit before your table this morning, that we may be fed and we may find life. May the words of my mouth, the thoughts and meditations of each of our hearts be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight, Lord, our rock and our redeemer, Jesus our Christ. Amen. I really enjoy hearing stories from long ago of how childhood was a lot different than what we kind of understand it today. These were days when children would wake up and put on their dirty clothes from yesterday and run outdoors and spend the whole day getting them even more dirty. Some would enjoy long treks in the forest, picking up leaves and looking under broken branches to see what kind of life might exist there. Others would ride their bikes to and around and over and under the town, jumping over potholes and over railroad tracks. Many might stop and pick up games of football, baseball, basketball. It just depended upon the season in which it was in. And it wasn't just boys. Girls would join in as well. And it seems that many times the females would show up the males. Some would collect tadpoles and other water life and put them in a jar for study or just to see how long they can last without any air. There were others like me who would walk down to the library and find a new book by a favorite author and curl up by my nearest tree in the backyard or a chair on the porch and spend the day in fiction and fun, thinking I was one of those people. Being a child in those days seemed so much simpler. We didn't worry about making ends meet, as if there wouldn't be enough for our college education. That wasn't important to us as kids. We enjoyed our time of getting sweaty and dirty and smelly in all the fun ways that didn't involve work. Time was of no consequence unless it was how soon the dismissal bell at school would ring. I think teachers felt the same way, but for a different reason. We didn't worry about our safety so much because everybody knew us and knew our parents and watched out for us. They would encourage us. They would even at times discipline us. And by the time we made it home, our parents would know all about both. We played till the sun went down and the street lights came up, or we heard that voice from the back door calling our name to come home for supper or for dinner. It wasn't perfect, but it was idyllic. In those good old days, I've heard told, too, that one of the best meals to be had was Sunday lunch or dinner, depending upon where you come from. It was a true feast and a rich and meaningful time above all other times at the table. Somehow, miraculously, we'd all be in Sunday school and worship, so there's 2.5 hours being all dressed up uncomfortably in our finest to make it home in time to find the table ready, running over with Sunday's piping hot, much delicious, much sought after food from grandma or mom. So much so that they would invite guests from church to come and eat with y'all. It was unknown to anyone how these two women were able to make it happen. Nothing was ever burnt. Nothing was ever overcooked. Nothing was store-bought. Everything was homemade. There was something that everybody loved on the table. There would be so much food that we would return to the kitchen all afternoon to graze until supper came, and then it magically reappeared and it was hot and fresh all over again. Children would be outside playing in the afternoon till that call came from the door that supper, dinner is ready. It's on the table. They would drop balls and bats. Bicycles would be dropped in the front of the lawns and everybody'd come running. Others would be in front of the radio or the television set, depending how your financial situation was, enjoying a program or watching a football game. They would eventually meander into the kitchen, fill up their plates once again for sustenance, which they really didn't need. At either time, there'd be lively conversation about the sermon that morning. Roast preacher was a favorite for lunch. Mrs. Jackson, could you believe she wore that to church this morning? Or how about Mr. Jones, how bad he sang off key? There would be stories told of long ago dreams, shared of a hopeful future coming. Food's going to be passed around. Family members would rush back to get seconds of Grandma's macaroni pie, Uncle Bob's pulled barbecue pork. Sundays were cherished family days that were centered around the table and enjoyed a meal this side of heaven. This is especially true if you had a good memory as a child. The lazy, hazy days of long ago are gone, right? And I'm not here this morning to get all negative and make you feel guilty for the changes around your table or the changes in our lives as we aged and became adults. Change happens. It is one of those inevitable things, as the saying goes, that comes like taxes and death. You can count on it. We grow up from our childhood. We grow up from those days and those times around the table, and those memories seem farther and farther away. The gospel of Jesus Christ, after all, is about change. Change in you, change in me. Yes, change in the church, and change in the world. Today, we rush out of church, if we make it to church, and rush to the restaurant to beat the Baptist so that we can get the chocolate pie before they do. We place our order, or we key it into this device on the counter. Somebody who has a good credit card taps the card, and somehow the device tells the kitchen what you want to eat, and it's delivered to your table with a surly server. Everyone's on their amazing devices, looking at the scores, reading what Google has to say, Facebook or Instagram, grunting and sighing at what they're looking at, eating at the same time, and the scraps are left in the center of the table, and we rush from the table back to our devices, back to our homes, back to something that's less than ideal. Our childhood is rushed and rushed and rushed to grow up. For we adults have to make a living, squeezing in faith community when we can and running through McDonald's when we can't. And still, the Word of God tells us this morning through the voice of Jesus Christ that it is possible to be like a child. It is possible to enjoy a feast this side of heaven that will nourish your soul. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus and his beautiful empowerment statement regarding little children and the kingdom of God hits me squarely between the eyes as he blesses the little children and he chides his adult disciples. Now ask a dozen people and you will find out that the word blessing has a dozen different meanings. For many people, it means financially being successful. Some, it means being good health. Others, yet, it means good relationships with that significant person in their life. Even in the Bible, the word blessing is used to express several different thoughts. Any of these phrases sound familiar to you? Have you heard or said any of them? Dear God, bless this food. Dear God, bless this project. Dear God, bless my family this coming week. What does it mean to be blessed? We wish each other a blessed Christmas or a blessed Easter or even an ordinary day. Have a great day. Be blessed, or simply be a blessing. Does something happen when we say that? Something magical occur in the life of the individual we bless? Or is it meaningless tradition from earlier centuries gone by? Blessings have been used for thousands of years in all sorts of settings. Scripture, again, contains numerous blessings that are spoken or written to different people. But when Jesus gathers the children together, allows them onto his lap and around his feet, and blesses their lives, they are richer for it. They are fuller for it. A blessing from the heart of Jesus Christ changes everything. Pastor and author John Lloyd Ogilvie shares, "We all need Jesus' blessings. We need them desperately. It's the one great need we all share in common. We are born for it, and there is no lasting joy without it. What oxygen is for the lungs and protein is for the body, that's what it is, this blessing for our souls. With it, we are welcomed and known to be winsome and free. Without it, we are willful and fearful. It is the one thing people need most from us, but it is the one thing we cannot give until we have received it or live in it. It is life's most precious possession for us. And the best way to receive such a blessing is to have the faith and the heart of a child that Jesus has never stopped blessing you, even to this moment. Children are those innocent individuals, pure and holy. And yes, even that 2-year-old you saw yesterday throw a tantrum on the second aisle of the grocery store. But more so, little children do not worry about things unless they're taught to worry by an adult. Little children are smart and wise and understand love and hate much better than adults understand these two facets of life. Little children are generous and kind, wanting to include others into the circle of fun, unless, of course, we teach them otherwise. Little children are full of life and excitement and want to live a life to the fullest. Little children are full of everything that God has for them. It is for these that Jesus says they will receive the kingdom of God because they're like a little child. It means that their understanding, their faith, their heart is that of a little child. Sorry, Jesus isn't giving you credit here or authority to be childish, even though some of us don't need that authority. We do it quite well. But he is telling us to be childlike. He's asking us to have a wonder about life again, to get excited about waking up, to be open, and to trust one another like a little child. Then the blessing will flow, and we will see all the good that is around us and in every moment of every day, and we will not just be blessed, we will become a Jesus blessing to someone else. You saw it happening this week, if you were paying any attention, how God's kingdom in so many places was blessed by God's children. Because this week, this church began by blessing others through financially contributing to United Methodist Committee on Relief so that we could supply those in need of water and tarps and food substances and medical supplies in the wake of Hurricane Helene. We were there. We took 4 truckloads from this church and this community and our partners in ministry to Augusta, to Evans, and to Thompson, feeding hundreds of thousands because of generosity. You have been a blessing to others. We're blessing when we open our doors to the Path to Shine program in our community that St. Patrick and we do together to help ground students in their education, to tutor them and give them a solid, secure, safe place to learn. You are a blessing when you share the good news of what Jesus is doing at Kingswood. Even if you say this is just a fun place to come to, you're being a blessing. We offer blessing when we open our doors, our hearts, and our minds to our neighbors at St. Patrick or All Saints or St. Luke's and even Temple Emmanuel, all seeking to be the kingdom of God in this place, all seeking to love God and make God known. When we have the courage to welcome all to the table, broken and sick, mentally unstable, the prisoner, the homeless youth, the brown, the black, the olive, the white, the red, and the other shades of colors, the needy youth, the aged, the broken ones from family relationships, the one with no family, when we welcome them, when we bring them, they become blessed, and we are a blessing, a Jesus blessing. For this is what the little ones do when they see a friend, when they have their blood brother or blood sister that they've done this mixing of their blood with, or they have a classmate or a new kid on the block and they welcome them to the table. They are being a Jesus blessing. Jesus is calling us to have that spirit, my friends. He's asking us to not always be so uptight as adults, but to remember what it was like to have the spirit of a child, the heart, the willingness to be open and free, not tarnished by the world or even by adults who try to color the world in negativity. We are called on through this passage in the gospel this morning to let the same spirit of Christ guide us as God's children so that we might be blessed and be a blessing at his table, where all the children are gathering today, gathering to praise God, gathering to receive his worldwide blessing of a family together now and forever. I do not believe the idyllic days of old are gone. They're just a little different. And how we live them with the spirit of a child and feasting at the table of God will make all the difference in the world. They're not gone. It's right before us as we come in from our play, our work, our worry, our fears, and gather around this table with our big old crazy, sometimes hard to love family, surrounded by and offered the blessings of Jesus Christ. I invite you, beloved, to come as a child to the table. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.